The following program is sponsored by Senior Class Media. Welcome to Senior Class on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. You've graduated from the workforce and made it to retirement.
So go to the head of the class.
Senior Class Radio is your source for senior citizen-related topics, information, and entertainment. Now, it's time for Senior Class on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
And good Sunday morning, everybody. My name is Russell Mills, and you are listening to Senior Class. We are live and local today on News 102.3 AM 740 KRMG. The mission, as always, to discuss all aspects of life and living in your golden years. Your host for Senior Class is Rusty McMurray, but Rusty is playing hooky today. And so we have usually co-host, but today the hostess with the mostest, and that would be Brittany Burridge. And hello, good morning. How are you?
Hi. I feel so strange sitting on this end of the table. I'm in the driver's seat.
You are in the driver's seat. Just don't drive us off the cliff. I'm teasing.
Hopefully I don't disappoint anybody today.
I'm sure you won't. And you've got some special guests this morning.
I do. I'm so excited. So today, my co-host is Miranda Faust, and she's from Brookdale. Hi, Miranda.
Hi, good morning.
And then I also have Kathy Solins from the Alzheimer's Association. We're so excited to have her today, too. Thanks
good morning.
For joining us. So today we're going to talk about the Alzheimer's Association pretty much, and it's such a great resource. They have so much to offer our community, families, and dementia sufferers as well. So I just wanted to really educate the general public on kind of what you guys do and what you're about and what you have to offer. So let's start with you, Kathy,
okay.
And tell us a little bit about you and your background and what you do for the Alzheimer's Association.
I was a family caregiver for two loved ones, my mother and my aunt, but I did not work at the Alzheimer's Association during that experience, so I made every mistake there is to make as a caregiver.
Right.
And after that experience, I knew that I wanted to help other caregivers learn from my mistakes and kind of head them off at the pass. And one thing I did not realize was that there is an Alzheimer's Association. Mm-hmm. And we have a fantastic website, which is alz.org. Also, there is a whole caregiver center on our website, which is alz.org/care. Had I known about that link at the time, I would have been a better caregiver.
We talk about this all the time. You don't know what you need until you need it, unfortunately. So many people end up thrust into these situations, especially when it comes to caring for an elderly loved one, because you don't expect to end up having to take care of your mom or your dad or your spouse, or you know what I mean? So unfortunately, you do find that. Your story is not uncommon, right?
That's right. And really, as a caregiver, I didn't know what I didn't know.
Right, exactly.
And another really fantastic thing that we offer is a 24/7 helpline, which is 1-800-272-3900. You can call that at 2 in the morning if your loved one has started to wander, pacing around the house, and trained social workers will talk you through that situation and offer some tips.
Yeah, that's great. So and we'll give out these links and this phone number again, maybe at the before the commercial break. That way we have, so everybody get a pen while you can.
Yes, do that now.
Yes.
You mentioned that you said you made every mistake that a person could. What do you think was the most serious mistake, or what would you really tell people to avoid?
It's the communication with a person with dementia. From childhood, we're raised to use logic, rationale, persuasion. When you're communicating with somebody with Alzheimer's individuals, that flies out the window. So I would try to, use tips for my mother. Don't you remember we just ate 5 minutes ago? Well, no, she didn't remember. All that did was make her feel bad she didn't remember.
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
To avoid using logic and reasoning and to really go into their reality. And there's one core statement you should always remember. You'll never win an argument with an Alzheimer's person. So give up the need to be right, because they've lost the ability to use logic. So really, basically, that's one of the big things that, looking back on it, is to learn the proper communication tips.
Yeah. So tell me what you did next. What did you do? What were you doing for a living at the time, whenever you were going through this? Were you working for the Alzheimer's Association?
No, I was working at another company, but I was working full-time in a very demanding job, and I was trying to keep up my mother's house, my aunt's house, and take care of their mail, their bills, mm-hmm. and consequently at 49, I had a heart attack from caregiver stress.
Oh my gosh.
And it sneaks up on you. And so that's another message I would want to give caregivers, is that we try to be all things to them. And if you go down, then you can't take care of your loved one. And a lot of caregivers will say, you know, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I take care of myself. But really, you've got to get a break on a daily, weekly, monthly basis.
Yeah.
Because really, I have attended more funerals of caregivers who predeceased their loved ones. The stress is 24/7.
Right. And we do talk about that, you know, and I know Miranda in our industry, we see that a lot with family members, you know.
Absolutely.
They don't give themselves that break because it is a 24-hour job. You know, we do this for a living and care for these people, but we get to go home and go to bed.
And it's different. I always say when it's the heart, all logic goes out the window.
Right.
So it's not our mom. It's not our spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of a difference there. So it's good to have that support of people reminding them of that.
Right.
Exactly. And one thing that we always want caregivers to know about is that in Oklahoma, every area agency on aging was given the
vouchers.
Older Americans grant, which they can sign up for respite vouchers. So wherever you are in Oklahoma, just contact your area agency on aging and ask them about respite vouchers. In Tulsa Creek and Osage counties, you can sign up for $400 in respite vouchers per quarter.
Wow. And see, these are so many resources that people just don't know about. That's why we do this.
Okay, so let's explain what respite vouchers are. So $1,600 a year that I can spend on what? On respite. But what's that mean?
For example, I can even pay a family member to come in and stay with my loved one as long as the family member does not live in the home. And they can pay their loved one, their family member or an aide to come in while they just get a nap, if nothing else,
mm-hmm.
or go get their hair done or go play golf or something.
So respite is really rest for the caregiver.
Exactly.
That's its whole premise and purpose, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's free money because a lot of times, you know, money is an issue for caregivers.
Right.
It certainly was in my case. So in Tulsa Creek and Osage County, Oxford Healthcare mm-hmm. has the grant, and their phone number is 918-258-1111. And their fiscal year starts July 1. So please contact them, and they'll come out and do an assessment on your loved one, and then you could get some respite money.
Okay.
And they can always contact the Alzheimer's Association for those numbers as well if they're out of the Tulsa Osage.
Got it. Okay, so before we take a break, we'll make sure and run through these,
absolutely.
these numbers again.
Absolutely.
We've given out quite a few.
We will do that. And let's give out one more. If you have questions this morning about Alzheimer's or any of the issues that we're discussing, you can absolutely call us 918-460-KRMG. That's 460-5764. Or you can text questions to 95920.
All right.
Brittany?
So, Kathy, fast forward to today. What do you do for the Alzheimer's Association today?
Today, I am an education coordinator. And so we offer free presentations to residences, facilities, the community, mm-hmm. because knowledge is power. And with Alzheimer's, it unfortunately still has a stigma. So we want to eliminate that stigma by increasing education and awareness.
Yep.
And that's why June is Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month.
Awesome. So we're going to talk about, when we come back, we'll talk about what that entails and how the community can get involved and how, you know, we can all play a role. Before we go to break, though, let's give out the Alzheimer's Association phone number one more time.
Yes, the 24/7 helpline is 1-800-272-3900.
And what's your website again?
ALZ.org.
Okay, wonderful. And then will you give out the Oxford Healthcare phone number as well one more
time?
Yes,
Oxford Healthcare for respite vouchers, 918-258-1111.
Okay. All right.
That's a lot of numbers.
Them.
You're right.
I know.
But I'm sure we'll hit them one more time
before we go.
Again. Do you want to go ahead and take a quick time out?
Let's do it.
We'll come back and speak some more with Kathy about Alzheimer's. And again, if you have any questions, absolutely give us a call, 918-460-KRMG, or text us at 95920. You're listening to Senior Class. We're live and local on News 102.3 KRMG. All kinds of sunshine, not a lot of clouds in Tulsa this morning. Going to be a hot one, so stay hydrated. Good morning. Welcome back to Senior Class. I'm Russell Mills, and I am here with our super special host today. That would be Brittany Burridge. Rusty McMurray out of town. I guess you said he went to a wedding.
Yeah, he went to a wedding. I don't know whose wedding. All I know is that it's in Cache, Oklahoma, maybe?
It's Oklahoma. Catchy. It could be Cache, Catchy, Cash.
Khaki? I don't know.
He ain't here. We'll just go with that. But we do have some special guests. Why don't you go ahead and introduce them for us?
Yes, I'm so excited. Today we have Miranda Faust, who just so happens to be one of my dear friends. And she's from Brookdale. Hi, Miranda.
Hi.
She's got such a happy, sweet voice. That's why she's here.
She seems like a happy person.
She's pretty good.
I've known her for all of, 12 minutes now.
But. Right. But you can hear her heart through her voice. She has such a sweet voice.
Go.
Thank you.
And then we also have Kathy Solins, another friend of mine. She's from the Alzheimer's Association.
Hello.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
So we were just kind of giving basic rundown
of looking at Alzheimer's.
Yeah. So I know everybody probably out there listening is wanting to dig into the good stuff. So let's start with the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's. Let's just kind of break it down and explore, what those diseases actually are. So
yes, we hear that question all the time. And dementia is an umbrella term. For example, food, that's an umbrella term where there's different types of food. So for dementia, there's different types, of which Alzheimer's is the most common type.
Okay. So Alzheimer's is a type of dementia.
That's right.
And dementia is not a type of Alzheimer's, right?
Yes. Okay. Dementia is dementia, and there's different types of it.
Okay.
Now, what confuses caregivers sometimes is because doctors can't technically say 100% it's Alzheimer's, they'll say your loved one has dementia, probable Alzheimer's type. But sometimes that confuses caregivers because they're saying, oh, well, my loved one doesn't have Alzheimer's. They just have dementia. But really, dementia is dementia.
Right. So dementia can also be caused by things like a stroke, Parkinson's disease, Lewy body dementia is another type of dementia.
Yes, vascular dementia, which is what my mother had. Mm-hmm. That is when the brain is deprived of blood flow or oxygen flow. So if you have high blood pressure and you've had a series of TIAs or strokes, after a while the accumulation of all of that can result in vascular dementia.
Okay. All right.
There is a mixed dementia, which is Alzheimer's plus another dementia. So you could have Alzheimer's plus the vascular.
Right. Okay.
Lewy body dementia, that is, remember when Robin Williams died? Mm-hmm. And first they said he had Parkinson's, and then they said, no, it was Lewy body dementia.
Right. Yeah.
Because the two can kind of mimic each other. Mm-hmm. Lewy body, the hallmark features for Lewy body dementia is hallucinations and kind of the rigid, stiff limbs.
Right.
So it's important to tease out the difference between Alzheimer's and Lewy body, because the antipsychotics that are given to an Alzheimer's person do not work well with Lewy body dementia.
Oh, isn't that interesting? And that's because different parts of the brain are affected in those different
Yes, and Parkinson's processes. Can have a late stage dementia.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Very interesting. So tell us a little bit about what are the symptoms of dementia and the symptoms of Alzheimer's? I mean, are there classic symptoms for each, differing type of dementia? Are they all just kind of the same? How does one decipher between, which disease process they're going through?
That is a great question. On our website, ALZ.org, you can search for Know the 10 Warning Signs. And for Alzheimer's, the first warning sign will be in their memory. which is in the hippocampus, so you will typically notice short-term memory loss. Mm-hmm. If I ask you what you had for breakfast, you may draw a blank. But if I asked you what happened in World War II, you can tell me in very extreme detail.
Right. Now, this is the part that always kind of frightens everybody, because they're like, oh my gosh, I don't remember what I had for breakfast today. That's you know, I'm 31. So can you tell us the difference kind of between just normal aging and memory loss versus actual dementia or Alzheimer's?
And normal memory loss associated with aging would be once in a while.
Right.
Occasionally.
Mm-hmm. So I forgot someone's name, but then it comes back to me later?
Yes.
Okay.
But with Alzheimer's, you'll see it daily. It's becoming really the pattern. Mm-hmm. But with normal memory loss associated with aging, it's the occasional or random.
Okay.
So
okay.
Can't stress affect that sometimes? So if we're very stressed, then it could maybe mimic some of the symptoms?
Yes, and that is a great question, because Alzheimer's disease is really, when you get the diagnosis, it's a disease of exclusion, in that you're excluding out other things that may be causing dementia-like symptoms, for example, extreme stress, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. or over-medication.
Or vitamin deficiencies.
Or vitamin deficiencies. Right? Yeah. So you're wanting to rule out other things the dementia symptoms might be.
Okay. So is there a conclusive test that will determine whether you have Alzheimer's or not?
With the brain scans, they say that they can diagnose within 90 to 95% accuracy. But with 100%, that requires an autopsy after death to actually determine it. Okay. But these days, the test can pretty much determine within a very high level.
Because correct me if I'm wrong, but there's actual visible plaques on the brain caused by Alzheimer's.
That's right. Okay. It's plaques and tangles, mm-hmm. and then they attach to the brain cells or the neurons. Well, after a while, the plaques are so sticky that they cannot connect anymore, so the brain cells are literally atrophying and dying off.
Right, yeah. And I've actually seen a visual image of, a healthy brain compared to an Alzheimer's brain, and it's visibly shrunken, visibly smaller. Yes. Visibly atrophied and deteriorated. It's very
Yes, there's another really compelling image that we sometimes give out at presentations. It shows a healthy brain mm-hmm. with lots of active colors. Mm-hmm. And then the middle one is a late stage where all of the active colors are almost gone. Mm-hmm. And then on the far right, it's a normal infant brain. Well, the two are almost identical.
Right.
In that the normal infant brain has not developed its brain.
Exactly, yeah.
And then the late stage Alzheimer's has atrophied to the point of almost regressing back in time.
Right, almost an infantile state.
Which caregivers will see.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Isn't that just amazing? It's such a horrible disease process, though. Yes. It's honestly, I find in our, because I work in senior living, so, and I do memory care as well, so I find that oftentimes it's harder on the family and the caregivers than it actually is on the resident or the patient that's going through it. Is that your experience as
well? Yes, because you're mourning the loss of your loved one and your relationship as you once knew it. And they call that anticipatory grieving. Mm-hmm. So you're grieving the loss of your loved one, although they're still living.
Right.
And then you'll grieve again once they pass away.
Right. Yeah.
And also role reversals become kind of an issue in families. I certainly could relate to that. Because I became the parent to my mother. She didn't like it, and I didn't like it either, because it was unnatural.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about earlier. You don't expect to be, and especially couples, Marina, we see this all the time. Mm-hmm. They've retired. They're looking forward to spending their golden years together, perhaps traveling, and then one spouse is diagnosed.
Now they can't. The dreams are crushed.
Yeah, it's such a terrible process. It really is. Is it about break time?
Just about. We're going to go to the news. When we come back, maybe we can talk about some of the research that's going on. The really tragic part of all this is this
There's
is not
no
a curable condition. It is something that is chronic. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully, someday they'll find the cure for that. Meanwhile, we're talking about, just making life livable for not only the patient, but for the caretakers.
When we come back, we'll talk about research and causes and possible cure, maybe.
And we'll be back with more Senior Class right on the news on News 102.3 KRMG. On a cloudy day. Welcome back to Senior Class here on News 102.3 AM 740 KRMG. Remember, if you have questions for us today about Alzheimer's specifically, because we have a special guest today and talking about that, you can give us a call at 918-460-KRMG. That's 460-5764. You can text us at 95920. Sitting in and filling the big shoes of Rusty McMurray today.
Yes, I
normally
am.
Normally our co-host, and that would be Brittany Burridge.
I am on the throne today.
You are on the throne. You're in the driver's seat.
I'm sure he's listening right now, too, probably. Right?
Well, there's a decent chance. And if not, he can always go back and listen to the podcast
later.
I'm sure he will.
So. Well, I've got a couple of special guests here today. So my co-host today is Miranda Faust from Brookdale. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And then also I have Kathy Sullins from the Alzheimer's Association. Kathy, thanks for joining us. It's been so informative.
Well, thank you for having me.
We really appreciate it. So just real quick, I know probably everybody's wondering, what are the causes and risk factors involved with Alzheimer's?
Yes, the risk factors, the number one risk factor is age. Mm-hmm. So 85 and older, there is a very high risk that you will develop Alzheimer's.
How high? Is there a percentage associated?
I believe it's
with
one
it
in or? Two.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What about genetics?
Genetics. There is a small genetic component, which is only about 2 or 3% of all cases. One of the things a lot of people want to know is, will I get Alzheimer's because it runs in my family?
Right.
If it is not a genetic component, the family history increases your risk. So I have a family history, which mm-hmm. increases my risk, but it's not a foregone conclusion that I will develop Alzheimer's. However, it behooves me to take care of my brain and body in a healthy lifestyle to maybe reduce the risk.
Right. So tell me a little bit, what does that entail? What are the recommendations for living healthy brain life, for example?
Yes, there's four core areas that the Alzheimer's Association focuses on, and obviously one is physical exercise. Mm-hmm. And of the research studies, what they're finding is the most helpful is obviously cardiovascular, because you're wanting to pump oxygen and blood to your heart and your brain. Another one is nutrition. So any fruits that have a very bright color, like blueberries or things like that, mm-hmm. Maybe might help reduce your risk. The MIND diet, the Mediterranean diet is one diet that they're looking at for being a very helpful lifestyle.
Okay.
Another key component is socialization. They're even doing studies on loneliness in senior women. Will that increase your risk because they're not having any kind of intellectual or social stimulation?
Right. And also, you know, I've read a couple of studies, I think, about hormones playing a role
Might
in your
be.
Brain health as well. And so then that goes to the whole socialization thing as well, because when you know, aren't having any social interaction, then you become depressed. That affects your hormones. I mean, it's just crazy how your body, everything is just so intertwined.
Exactly. And then the last one is obviously cognitive skills, brain games.
Brain games, yes.
So can you do crossword puzzles, and how does that work?
Yes, on the brain games, you want to do something that is hard for you. So for me, that would be Sudoku, because I'm not good with numbers.
I love those.
So you want to go out of your comfort zone.
What if they stress me out?
If they stress you out, please don't do that.
Right? Okay.
But for example, you could also brush your hair or brush your teeth with your non-dominant hand.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Because it makes you...
You're forcing your brain to create new brain cells, because you're using a part of your body that's not used to being worked.
Very interesting.
So what about, I don't know, learning a foreign language, mm-hmm. or, you know, studying a topic that you know nothing about, or just, like you said, trying to create new neural pathways?
Yes, and actually learning a foreign language is one of the great tips, because you're forcing your brain to think outside the box.
And to absorb new information.
And actually, formal education after one retires is considered to be very, very important, because obviously you're working your brain. You know, there's lots of adult classes that a person could take, and they think that that's very important to keep learning in a formal setting.
Right. Or even like the senior centers where they offer education and that social aspect, right?
Absolutely.
That's true. Hmm. Very interesting. Okay, so let's move on to research. So I know the Alzheimer's Association has been pretty heavily involved with funding some new research. Is that right? Can you kind of tell
correct.
Us what's that program? What are they researching? Have they made any leeway?
One of the exciting research studies that they're doing right now is called the U.S. Pointer Study. And if you go to our website, alz.org, and search for Pointer, you can pull up the specifics.
Okay.
And the Alzheimer's Association is contributing millions of dollars to this two-year study. And what they're looking for is to see if nine modifiable risk factors over the course of your lifetime, can that reduce your risk? And one of the things they're looking at is a certain level of education. I believe it's through the ninth grade. Because, you know, I think a lot of times that, you know, kids who are homeless or not getting consistent education, maybe mm-hmm. they will be at risk because they're thinking education through the ninth grade level, I believe.
Okay. Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So they're kind of, this. The whole purpose of this study is to kind of research possible risk factors and then how to reduce.
Yes, that are modifiable.
Your
so
risk.
Obviously you could modify
right.
the length of education.
Okay.
Yeah. Another factor is our socioeconomic factors. If I have no money and I'm catch as catch can on health care,
mm-hmm.
is that going to be a risk factor?
Right. So yeah.
I'm guessing yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
you're not going to go to the doctor as often,
right? And get checked up, and when you start to get early symptoms, you know, you're less likely to get help. And I would imagine, as with most medical conditions, the earlier you address it, the better off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're going to be.
And that's a really good point. That can bring us to another topic is, you know, when someone does get faced with a diagnosis like this of Alzheimer's, for example, what's the next step? I mean, I know that, you know, we've talked about how difficult it can be, but there's not the end of the road. I mean, it's not a hopeless situation.
That's absolutely.
So tell us what do we do next?
Well, on our website, there is a Live Well link on there for people who have just been diagnosed and how to live your best life mm-hmm. with a diagnosis. We had an advocate who was diagnosed with a frontotemporal dementia, and she was very inspiring because her point was, yes, there's a diagnosis, and yes, there's death, but you know what? I'm going to live life to my fullest during mm-hmm. that time.
Like the diagnosis doesn't define you.
Exactly.
Right. You can still live. You can still, you know, you have
yes.
options. You can still enjoy day-to-day life as well.
That's right. So the Live Well would be a great link for a person to go to.
Right.
And really, Alzheimer's Association, we really encourage physicians that were the next step for their patients. Because we have all of the resources and information and education, and we want caregivers and their loved ones to know that they are not alone. We're here to walk through this journey with them.
Yeah. And we should point out, too, that although it is the Alzheimer's Association, it's not just Alzheimer's specific.
Right.
I mean, you guys have resources for all different types of dementia.
That's right. And other related dementias.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's important to point that out because it's not just that one
that's right.
disease process. So, can you give us a little bit of information as far as, say I am Betty and my husband George has just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So I come to the Alzheimer's Association, and what am I looking for? What am I asking for? What are you guys going to do for me, or how are you going to help us?
Well, one of the things that I want caregivers to know is everything that we do for caregivers is free of charge. And so the first thing is a caregiver consultation. So we figure out financial resources, family resources, and we kind of come up with, okay, here's kind of a plan of action. And then after that, they can also have free counseling, mm-hmm. the caregivers,
wow.
and support groups. And for people who are early stage, younger onset, which means under 65, there are support groups for them as well.
Okay.
Are there programs for them? I mean, are there specific programs at the Alzheimer's Association for people, like if I were diagnosed at an early age for me?
Yes, if you were diagnosed at an early age and you're in early stage, we would suggest that you attend some of these support groups because...
Specific for that type?
Yes, because it's important to be around people with the similar conditions, mm-hmm. and then they feel empowered and that they're not alone.
Yeah.
Right. And I also, one of my favorite things about the Alzheimer's Association is the educational component. So, and I know that this is, you know, huge part of what you do, Kathy. So, but it's just about educating families and caregivers on, you know, kind of what to expect, what's normal, what's
exactly.
not. I mean, because it's a whole new normal. And, you know, just kind of how to approach this person when they're going through this.
Exactly. And also, you know, knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The more we know about a subject, the less scary it is.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, there's so many times that I talk to families that I've been working with and they're just shocked by some of the things that have unfolded as they've gone through this. You know, their mom, who previously never said a cuss word in her life, is now all of a sudden cussing like a sailor or
vice versa.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. So once we educate them that, well, the frontal lobe behind our forehead, that governs the filter.
Mm-hmm.
So if that filter's impaired by the disease, then they're likely to blurt out things like that.
Right, exactly. And it's so important. You know, I always try to point out to families that this is not personal.
That's right.
Don't take these things personal. It literally is just part of the disease process. Sometimes it can be ugly. Sometimes it can be fun. You know, every day's a new day. But it's never personal.
Right, and that's another good point that you're making. With Alzheimer's, they can teach us the art of Zen,
mm-hmm. yes.
in that
finding
live in the
moment. Yeah, and finding the joy in every day.
Right.
Zen.
In Alzheimer's.
I love that. That's awesome. All right, so we're going to talk more, a little bit more about the research that's ongoing and about the fact that life does go on, even with Alzheimer's and even for the family members. And we'll have more of that after the break. You are listening to Senior Class. We're live and local on News 102.3 and AM 740. KRMG. Welcome back to Senior Class here on News 102.3 AM 740 KRMG. Coming up here in about 8.5 minutes, your top stories, the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center, and your forecast. And for those going out to Tulsa Tough today, going to be hot. So just saying, make sure you hydrate before you go outside as well as while you're outside in that heat. After the news, Living Well with Dr. Booz. Remember, if you've got questions for us today on Senior Class, you can text us at 95920. Somebody did just that, and I'll get to that in 1 second. But first, let's remind everyone, Rusty McMurray, our normal host, isn't here, but Brittany Burridge is and doing a wonderful job.
Thank you. I'm hoping I'm filling his shoes quite well.
You are, we'll absolutely.
See. All right. Well, today my co-host is Miranda Faust from Brookdale.
Hello.
And then also we have our guest, Kathy Sullins from the Alzheimer's Association. And Kathy, you have given us so much awesome information. We appreciate
it. I'm glad.
Yes.
So we do have a text question. They want to know if the Alzheimer Foundation offers assistance to people with other types of dementia, like Lewy body dementia, which is something we discussed a little bit ago.
Absolutely. The Alzheimer's Association's technical name is Alzheimer's Association and Other Related Dementias. But because that title is so long, we just cut it to Alzheimer's Association. But absolutely, we talk to caregivers all of the time. And their loved ones have been diagnosed with various types of dementia. So absolutely, yes, please contact us.
Wonderful.
So question answered. And thank you very much for sending that in.
Okay, so on to the fun stuff. This is probably the most important part, I feel, about what the Alzheimer's Association has to offer. Because I truly believe that not only are you guys an educational resource, but also just a place of hope.
Absolutely.
So can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, keeping hope alive and staying positive? You know, we left before the break kind of talking about finding joy in every day. But how do we do that? Can you tell us?
Well, one great example is that June is Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month.
Awesome.
And one of the simple things that a person could do is wear purple all month long, mm-hmm. to generate awareness.
Because purple is the color for Alzheimer's, right?
That's right. And a lot of times people will say, oh, I love purple. That's my favorite color. And that's kind of a good segue to say, oh, well, that's the color of the Alzheimer's Association. And did you know that they offer free services for caregivers?
Awesome.
I love that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing in June. I know that you're having a day called The Longest Day. Is that right?
Yes. The Longest Day coincides, obviously, with the summer solstice, which is the longest day of the calendar year. Mm-hmm. Because for caregivers, it can feel like every day is the longest day.
Right.
And so on that day, we're asking people to do various activities all day in honor or memory of a caregiver. And to raise awareness, that's a big key feature, is we want to raise awareness and education.
Right, right. And so at my building, for example, we have all kinds of fun activities planned for that day, you know, with our residents as well as with our caregiving staff and then our administrative staff. We're all kind of participating in these various activities. One fun part is we're having a volleyball tournament, which will probably seem like the longest day of my life playing volleyball, but in the
heat.
Right, yeah. But I think that that's great because it's not necessarily has to be daunting tasks. It can be
very fun.
Isn't it supposed to be something that you like to do?
Right.
Yes, I think one group did, they watched, you know, their favorite soap opera for 24 hours or something like that.
Well, that sounds like an activity. Well, not necessarily a soap opera, but watching TV
exactly.
On a marathon basis, I could deal with that.
Right. So you're getting into the fun aspect of being proactive.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, it is such a community-involved organization. I know that Miranda and I have actually hosted a couple of fundraisers for the Alzheimer's Association. We like to incorporate karaoke because singing stimulates parts of the brain, and it is a very therapeutic activity for those suffering with dementia. Is that right?
Music is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Well into the disease. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely a huge, important thing to incorporate.
Right, and we're having one of those coming up in August. We don't have our date yet, but I'll share it with you guys when we do. And then tell us a little bit about the walk, too.
Yes, our Tulsa Walk to End Alzheimer's is September 15th. And that is another beautiful, poignant ceremony. But it also makes people feel empowered. They're mm-hmm. doing something positive and constructive in memory or in honor of their loved ones. And they're increasing education and awareness. And it's a very, very popular thing to do.
Yeah.
So the Tulsa.
What about Tulsa's walk? Yeah. Don't they have one of the bigger walks in the
nation? We do. And also in Oklahoma City. But mm-hmm. if you just go to ALZ.org, you can plug in your zip code and find any walk.
Yeah. Nationwide. It's actually a really cool tool that they have to find your walk.
Absolutely.
Nationwide.
And also our local chapter Facebook page, which is ALZ.org/Oklahoma, we list all of our educational events, support groups, anything of interest to a caregiver is on our social media.
Okay. And those are fun because they're all different.
That's correct.
Each time you go even to the same one, you learn something new because there's different people there.
That's right. Effective communication strategies, that's a very popular one. A healthy living for your brain and body, knowing mm-hmm. the 10 warning signs.
Yeah.
So they can find out the closest educational program to them.
Love that.
And they'll find out they're not alone. There's a lot of other people in this with them and standing there for them as they go through this.
And that's the beauty of a support group. As soon as you walk into a support group, you're in a group with like-minded people in that they all get it. You don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to defend yourself. They all get it.
Right.
And that is the importance of a support group.
All right. Kathy Sullins, you are Education Coordinator for the Alzheimer's Association. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Thank you, Brittany. And
you
did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
You did a wonderful job as well. And this has been Senior Class. We're live and local every Sunday from 8 to 9. See you next week. I'm Russell Mills. Have a great day.
Listening to Senior Class Radio with host Rusty McMurray.
Thanks for listening.
Tune into Senior Class Radio with Rusty McMurray every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Until next time, have a great weekend. God bless.